Any other keiki who would like to come and join us up here, I would love for you to come on up here. Before we do listen to the scriptures or anything else, I have, where did they go? Oh, here they are. Keiki, would you do me a favor? I have these boxes of rolls up of yarn, and I need to get every person in the congregation needs one from this box and one from this box. So can you guys help me? So all I need to do is come around and go, for you, for you, for you. Okay, can you guys grab a box and come help and let's get it all spread out while this is going on. Just one, Jerry, just one. We'll come back for more. Here, we got them. And if we have enough, we'll come back and give folks extras. When you receive your yarn, you may want to just tie it to your hand or something loosely, because you are going to want to take it off. And you can let your mind go in terms of what is he doing. And very good. Perfect. Yep, all the way to the back. Aries, you want to go help out? Go help out with Auntie Malia right there. You should get two yarns. So one, everyone should have a yellowish one, and then one, everyone should have either sort of a red or a purple or brown one. There's a multitude of colors here. If we got extras, go pass out the extras, because for the keiki, I've got your own, which you'll be able to get in a minute. So while this is happening, Mimi, are you ready? We got some yarn distribution needing to happen. You tie each one to your wrist, loosely. Who needs a red? Oh, Mimi needs yellow over here. There's only one box of yellow I know. Who's got the yellows? They've got it. Where'd that box go? Yellow, yellow. Who needs yellow? Yellow, yellow. Aries has yellow. Who needs yellow? Raise your hand. Does everyone have at least two? Keiki, come back and sit over here. You're good. Okay, tie them on. All right, while you're tying them on, let's listen to Mimi. We're going to listen to the first scripture, the Isaiah scripture. I want you all to listen for some of the weird and wonderful things that are in the scripture. All right, and for those of you that are in Zoom land, since I didn't have yarn that was 10,000 miles long, I couldn't get it to you. So there's going to be a time where I'm going to need you to be your own yarn. You're going to reach your hands out. Let's practice. Reach your hands out and try and touch the people on the screen next to you. Very good. Lovely. Annette reaching all the way from New Orleans to Sky with Jean and Mary in Honolulu. Okay. All right, Mimi, first scripture from Isaiah.
Okay, it's from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and the bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Here ends the reading.
All right, we're going to turn off the water flowing for just a minute. Ty, can the Zoom folks see this water flowing? Got it. Okay, turn it off. No more water. All right, so in that scripture, nicely done there. You're doing a great job of tying on. I know you're not going to be able to hear anything. In that scripture, it has a couple really interesting words. It says, so shall my word go out from my mouth, and it shall not return to me empty. And the scripture writer, Isaiah, is using what we call a metaphor to talk about the word of God being like water. And so think about water for a minute. Where does water begin? Up there, right? Way up there. And then it comes down in the form of what? Rain. And then it hits what? The mountains, and it does what? Streams, rivers, goes out to the ocean. And from the ocean it does what? Evaporates and goes back up. And then what does it do again? Rains. Okay, so it changes form and yet it comes back. Okay? Then it says to us, the mountains and the hills shall burst before you in song. So close your eyes for a minute, everyone in the congregation, and see if you can hear the mountains and the hills bursting into song. And if you can't, it may be because there's a freeway running right nearby here. It may be because we are not attuned to that sound. But what the psalmist, what the Isaiah is telling us, the prophet Isaiah is telling us that everything God has created is filled with sound, is filled with life, and we can hear it if we tune our ears, tune our hearts to it. And then the last thing it says here is, so you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. God in joy, come back in peace. So if I go out in joy and I come back in peace, what do you think I'm going to do next? After I come back in peace, I'm going to God in joy. And then I'm going to come back in peace. It's this wonderful cycle, just like the water and the rains. Okay, so that's that scripture. But let's listen now to this really strange story that Jesus tells. And I'm going to have Mimi stop periodically. All right, Mimi, go ahead.
It's from the Gospel of Matthew.
Okay, now listen. Oh, wait, and before you say it, we're going to think that this parable is about seeds, because you're going to hear the word seeds mentioned many times. It's not. It's not about seeds. It's about soil. So I want you all to listen to the different types of soil, ground, dirt that is mentioned. And you might think it's about soil and dirt, but it's not. It's about us. And you might think it's only about us, but it's actually about us as part of the whole creation. So Jesus is brilliant. Tells stories, and we can identify with the stories, but the stories are about more than what the story is. Okay, so listen to the soils. Go ahead, Mimi.
It was on the same day that Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the lakeside. Such great crowds collected round him that he went aboard a small boat and sat down while all the people stood on the beach. He told them a great deal in parables and began. There was once a man who went out to sow. In his sowing, some of the seeds fell by the roadside.
All right, let's think about seeds falling on the road. What do you think the soil is like on seeds falling on the road? Hard, right? Why is it hard? The wheelbarrows and the chariots, right? And the marching soldiers and all of that, right? Right, so it's very hard, compact soil. Can you grow a lot in hard, compact soil? You cannot. Next.
And the birds swooped down and gobbled them up. Some fell on stony patches where they had very little soil.
All right, stony patches. What kind of soil would stony patches be? Good, bad, horrible, maybe sort of? What do you think? What do you think, Kai? Stony ground. Can you grow a lot in that? No, why not? It's solid, right? And it's got a lot of stones. And in fact, it says it's very shallow. What do you know about plants? Do they only grow above the ground? They grow below the ground too, right? So if it's very shallow, those roots can't spread. All right, next.
They sprang up quickly in the shallow soil. But when the sun came up, they were scorched by the heat and withered away because they had no roots.
No roots. Shallow. Not good. Next.
Some seed fell among thorn bushes, and the thorns grew up and choked the life out of them.
Okay, so if I've got soil that's growing thorn bushes, what kind of soil? Good soil, bad soil, so-so soil? Right. You know, one person's weed is another person's lovely plant, right? So in this instance, not so happy with the weeds, not the seeds we want. But, you know, maybe the soil's pretty good enough, but not great because we're setting up for...
Some fell on good soil and produced a crop. Some 100 times what had been sown, some 60 and some 30 times. The man who has ears should use them.
Ah, that's us. Those who have ears should use them. So now let's use our ears and let's use what's between our ears, our brains, and let's talk about soil. Okay, because it's not about seeds, right? It's about soil. And here's what we know is that a plant that grows has a whole lot going on upstairs and a whole lot going on downstairs. And we're learning so much more about what's going on downstairs. So everybody here is about to become deputized and be a plant. So I need you all, Kiki, to stand up and look at these lovely people. Now, here's the deal. Same for you, world and Zoom land. Not all plants are tall, some are short. So some of you, if you wish to stand, you may. And if some of you are short or wish to sit, you may. Or if you wish to grow and sit down and grow and sit down, you're more than welcome to as well. I'm going to have Chris put up a slide real quick. So Kiki, move to the side for just a minute. So a lot of this was based on these three books, okay? Finding the Mother Tree by Dr. Susan Simard. Becca and I have listened to it on audiobook. Hard to think that a science book would be really interesting, but it's really interesting. The Overstory, I have a copy of it here that Mark Wilson brought in for us. Oh my gosh, what a story. And then the last is The Hidden Life of Trees by Peter Wohlbagen, who also wrote this wonderful book called The Secret Wisdom of Nature. All right, those of you that are trees, go ahead and stand, sit, whatever. But what I want you to do is I want you to think about the part of you that is above ground, your branches, your leaves. All right, Chris, we can go back to seeing the Zoomers. Okay, now with your hands up there, I want you to imagine that you've got leaves, all right? And you can sit if you wish to. Up to you. You got leaves, and what do leaves do? They get sunlight, and what do they do with the sunlight? Anybody know? Photosynthesis. Can you say that? Photosynthesis. And they make food. Okay, you can rest your hands. Just imagine they're still up there. They make food. Stop and think for a minute. Sunlight, food. Light becomes food. It becomes sugar. Okay? Sugar. That's incredible. All right, so we've got our branches up there. We got our leaves. We're taking in the sunlight, except for when it's dark. Can you turn out the lights for just a minute, Chris? Or Isato, or whoever's back there? Okay, so it's about to get dark. Oh, it's got lighter. Now it's going to get dark. All right, so now it's dark. So we're resting a little bit, and what's happening? The sugar is flowing. It's flowing down our branches. It's flowing into our trunks. And where is it flowing to? Our roots below the waist. Okay, light again. We need daylight again. All right, now you can rest your arms because this could be a while. All right, so now I want you to think about below ground. And everybody needs to do a little bit of shimmy below ground because and go, ooh, ah. And the reason that you're doing that is there's stuff that's crawling on you. There's worms, and there's nematodes, and there's bugs and stuff crawling on you underground. Anybody know why they're doing that? Anyone know? Why are bugs and nematodes and worms crawling underground? They're making the earth healthy. They're eating each other and stuff. And when they die, what happens to them? They become food. They become fertilizer. Shells are filled with calcium. Yay, plants need calcium. And they also are making air, space in the soil. Remember, what do we have? Hard, compact soil, right, Mimi? Did anything grow in the hard, compact soil? Nothing. But in the aerated soil, stuff can go. All right. So Dr. Susan Simard wrote this book about research she's been doing for years, for decades. The way it used to be thought 30 years ago, is that if you went to a forest, and particularly if you were trying to get lumber, you knew that trees needed sun. You knew that they needed water. Oh, wait, we need to turn the water on. Whoosh. And if you notice, many of our people in Zoom land have blue. Look at the ice there behind Jean. We've got Heron there with Annette. We've got water flowing there with Wit. They are primed to be water today. All right? So look at that. Paige and Josh are behind a blue filter. All right, so our Zoomers are our water. We've got sunlight coming. Everybody knew that. We knew that the roots needed stuff, but what they thought was everyone was in competition, right? So this tree that we want, this fir tree that we want, needs to have only fir trees around it, and anything else is going to steal those nutrients and everything else. And so that's how they acted. And that's why you'll see forests that have been completely cut down and then planted with the same tree row after row after row. And Dr. Simard, who wrote this wonderful book, look at Josh. Thank you, Josh. Dr. Simard, who wrote this book, why don't you all sit down because you're going to be standing for a minute, in a minute, who wrote this book, realized that something else was going on. So here's what it is. If you have a brown or red or purple yarn, That is your root. You actually have a ton of roots. You can think of your legs as your tap root, but you have a ton of roots, but we've only given you one. And so what I want you to do is I want to take your root and I want you to give it to somebody. All right? Pass it to someone. And when I say give it, I want it to stay attached to you. I want you now to be attached by roots to one another. You guys can use whatever color you want up there. You got the special colors. Okay. So, all right, good. Yep, purple. Okay, so if you want to reach across the aisles, move your chairs, you're welcome to. All right, is everyone connected? Chris is connected. Okay, the tech world is all connected back there. I love it. Okay, so this is what Dr. Samard learned. Dr. Samard learned that the roots do not exist just for the one tree. They feed each other. So remember your arms up here, your leaves, the photosynthesis coming down, flowing down through your trunk, through your roots. And what they found is that the roots don't just twine together, they actually share sugar. They share their carbon. So Annie and Diane, they are sharing their sugar right now. I'm just saying. So they are sharing that. And what this means is that if you've got a really big tree in a forest, it gets more sunlight than a little seedling. And that little seedling is going to have a hard time surviving unless it can get some photosynthesis. And it's not big enough to get to the sun. So the big tree, through its roots that you have now connected to one another, shares your sugar. And that little seedling is therefore able to grow and grow and grow until it can punch through the canopy and do its own. And even more, what she discovered was it's not just sharing sugar with plants of your own, but also plants that are completely different, a birch and a fir. One, the birch, that has leaves for about half the year and tons of leaves, and others, firs, that have leaves all year long, but in a different sort of format. So there are times where the birch is giving sugar to the firs and other times where the firs are giving sugar to the birch. This is amazing research. But then, Chris, can you show the next slide? Then we discovered, next, there's something more going on. It's not just roots. So here you can see this plant with its roots, and there's a bug, one of those things going, ooh, ooh. There's the roots, but what's this stuff? You have any idea what this is? Any one of you? Anyone out there who hasn't read the book? It's words I can't remember. But it's basically, if you think of a mushroom up above the ground, it's all the fungi, it's its filaments. It has its own root structure, but it's not really like roots. So the mushroom is just the fruit. And the mushroom underneath has this amazing set of like filaments and net-like structure. Next slide, Chris. So this is a cross section. Here's a one plant. Here's its few roots. And then this is all microphylli from the fungi, not happy people, but actually mushroom stuff, fungi, okay? This is had to be said. It had to be said, right? So this is also connected, because here's the deal. Fungi need sugar. They don't have any leaves. They don't do photosynthesis. Plants need minerals. Hard to get minerals. Combined together, plants, trees, give sugar to the fungi. Fungi give minerals like, I was about to say nicotine, nitrogen and stuff. Those are really true fun guys. Having a good time. And so next slide, Chris. Here's what you have. Different trees, all their roots, fungi, slipping down, coming together, intermingling. So now you got to do it again. Stand up, take the other one, your yellow one is now your fungus, your fungi. And I want you to connect to someone different than you were connected to before. All right, and then, all right, my keiki, I need you to get in the middle here, okay? As many of you as possible come into this middle aisle, Mimi, I'm going to have you stand right here, holding on to this. All right, I'm going to stand up here now so I can see you all. All right, let me know, raise your hand if you're not connected. Well, go get connected. All right, so now turn your attention back to me because I have so much more to tell you. All right, so here we go. Remember, religion as intelligent as science. Religion as intelligent as science. What are we discovering? It's not only, yeah, somebody needs to connect to poor Mimi. Somebody connect to poor Mimi. All right, there we go. All right, good. Whew, because Mimi is connected to all the Zoomers. Ty, is there any way you can see Mom here? It may not be possible. We'll get a shot of it soon. All right. So, here, I'm going to stand on this chair. I will. I'll be careful. All right, so, here's the deal. It's not just sugars that are being shared. It's not just minerals. They also are communicating in this phenomenal way. So danger is coming. Chemicals get sent out. Beware. Loggers are coming, harden your shell. Beware. There are boreal roaches or something that want to do something. And they communicate through spaces, and they connect to one another with messages. They talk to each other. Trees do not exist by themselves. Plants do not exist by themselves. They talk to one another through this network all going on underground. And even more, this is what really, the title of the book was The Search, The Hunt for the Mother Tree, Looking for the Mother Tree. There are certain trees in every forest that have been there the longest. They're usually the biggest, the tallest, have the most leaves, and they are the mother trees. And they are connected to the entirety of the forest, but they even, and this is amazing, this blows me away, they recognize their kin. The seeds from that mother tree, they will connect to the seedlings from that mother tree and give them just a little bit more sugar than they give to others. So in the middle, those who are really connected to a whole bunch of folks, are our mother trees. And the super mother tree of all is Mimi. So if Dan if we can get a shot of Mimi, because she is connected to the entire web across the world. Okay. Whew. All right, you can sit down, but don't get disconnected. You all can stand up. You can stand up if you want to, but some of you are going to have to stand, and I'm fine with that. So why do we care? Why do I talk about trees? Why am I so fascinated by this? Why is this so, and how does this connect to the scripture? Malia, would you take over from Mimi for being the mother tree for just a minute and let Mimi read the second half of the Matthew scripture? Okay, we'll come back to you, Jerry. Here, connect to Jerry. You don't want Jerry disconnected from us. There we go. All right, would you read the second half? Because remember, it's a parable. It's a story. It's not about seeds, and yet it is. It's not about soil, and yet it is. But it's also about us. Mimi?
Now, listen to the parable of the sower. When a man hears the message of the kingdom and does not grasp it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is like the seed sown by the roadside. The seed sown on the stony patches represent the man who hears the message and eagerly accepts it, but it has not taken root in him and does not last long. The moment trouble or persecution arises through the message, he gives up his faith at once. The seed sown among the thorns represent the man who hears the message, and then the worries of this life and the illusions of wealth choke it to death, and so it produces no crop in his life. But the seed sown on good soil is the man who both hears and understands the message. His life shows a good crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
So, think on this. Imagine Dr. Susan Simard is standing right here. And Mimi, if you want to come return to being the mother tree, we're happy to have you here. Dr. Susan Simard is standing right here, and Jesus is standing over here. And she is sharing the results of her research with Jesus. And Jesus' mind is blowing because she's telling a truth that he already knows. And that truth that he already knows is that the soil, us, is so essential for that seed. And so, Chris, can you show me the last slide there? Wait, I want my water flowing one more time. Okay, so this one more after this, to show this for just a minute. This is a map. These big ones are the mother trees, and these are all the trees in a small plot of a forest in which they are connected to. So what we have just done here, this is what happens in a healthy forest, connected all over the place to their own kin, to one another, because that mother tree does give extra sugar to their kin, but also makes sure that everyone has enough, because you want your children to grow up in a healthy neighborhood, right? So if I'm only giving just to my children and my neighbors are starving, it's not a healthy neighborhood. And so Jesus would be standing here with Dr. Samard and mind-blowing, because he knows this to be true. The seeds that are being sowed need to be sown in a place where there is good soil. We who are the church are that soil. What do we learn from all this? What do we learn from the forest? Next one's Chris, last one. Love this image. We learn so many things. Notice two different types of plants. Diversity matters. Notice, taking care of one another makes a difference for the whole. Taking care only of yourself, selfishness, does not strengthen you. It in fact weakens you, because there are times where you need sugar from others and no one's going to give it to you. Selflessness, on the other hand, that sharing strengthens all. The mother tree, our kupuna, honor your kupuna, because they have so much to share, not just in sugar, but wisdom, knowledge, beauty, love, aloha, connected together. If we want to be the community that Jesus has called us to, it might be wise to indeed look to the forest, because the forest is the community like that. Now, Dr. Samard is unveiling this right now using the gifts of science. What she's discovering is the knowledge that she's learning is the knowledge that indigenous people have known for thousands of years already. They just didn't back it up with Western science. In fact, in many native traditions on the mainland, they talk about the forest having mother trees. Those are the phrases they use. She had never heard that when she came up with the term mother tree. But there it was in the tradition. It is a knowledge. And what is that knowledge? That is a knowledge that is not just about forest. It is about human community. It is about God's created community. Connectivity is important. Diversity is important. Caring for one another is important, whether it is just within a human community or whether it is the community of God's creation. Those are the things that we learn. So let's do one more thing. I'm going to ask you all to stand up. I'm going to ask you to tighten on your roots and your fungi so that you're not pulling each other, but you're making sure that it's tight. So you can just gather it into your hand. Okay. Oh, look, roots. All right. So here's the deal. We're going to start with Mimi, who is our super mother tree. And I'm going to see, Mimi, I want you to pull and try to connect with Jerry, and you're connected with Malia. And when you pull, Jerry, I want you to pull with the two that you have. And let's see how long it takes us for everyone to feel that connectivity. And just keep pulsing it, okay? Okay, feeling it. Feeling it? Okay, keep it going. Let me know, Chris, when you've gotten it. Chris has already got it. Ivy, let me know when you've got it back there. And Christian. And Renita. Okay, are we feeling it? All right, it took us about 5 seconds to connect us all together. Roots, fungi, we are all connected. We are diverse. We are supportive. This is a model. If we want to think about being the community, the soil that will allow people to be the fullest of who they are, this is who we need to be.